Hey, I'm Daniel Colburn.
And I'm Caleb Porzio.
Welcome to the 20% Time, where two coworkers discuss one programming topic every Friday for less than 10 minutes. Hey, Caleb.
Hey.
What's up?
So many things. What is up with you?
So many things are up. I'm just sitting here. I'm in Wilmington, North Carolina.
That's great.
Temporarily on a working vacation, if you will, which means mostly working and not very much vacation.
Yep, that's what that means.
That's what that means. Yeah. But yeah, last night we recorded a crossover episode with the guys from North Meets South.
Yes, we did.
Jacob Bennett. And Michael Dorinda.
Yeah, that was totally awesome. They hit us up and wanted us on the show, which was a huge honor, and we had a great time.
Yeah, totally. So we're going to stick a couple of minutes of that show on the end of this episode, just so you can kind of hear you know, what we talked about and how the vibe was. And if you want to hear the rest of the conversation, which was like an hour and 15 minutes, which is too long for us to put in our feed, you can go over to the North Meets South feed. And you can find it there. So the link will be in the show notes. And yeah, it's a good show. Check it out.
Yeah, it is. Their stuff's great. And the stuff we talked about was really cool. There was some soft stuff, but there's also a lot of good Laravel Vue.js talk in there that is really good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So PRs, shall I?
You shall.
I shall. PRs. So this week in PRs, this is really 2 weeks because we missed a week. But I wanted to open with a couple that got rejected, the unsung, well, there's nothing to sing. But you never hear about rejected PRs, but it happens. And I'm a producer of PRs that get rejected. So I originally, a while ago, a couple weeks ago, I submitted a PR for a helper function called string after, or str underscore after. And I explained it on the show. It is what it sounds like. It returns the string after a search, you know, key thing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I was digging through the PRs, like closed PRs, and I found somebody submitted one for string before, which is the exact same thing as mine, but the opposite. And when I submitted mine, there were a lot of people who were like, oh, Taylor doesn't really like to pull in helpers if they're not used in the framework. But for some reason, he made an exception. And so somebody, like, I feel bad for this person because it seemed like a perfectly logical PR to submit, and they submitted it and it got rejected. So I don't know. I thought that was worth noting, that these helper functions are really hard to get pulled into the framework, and rightly so, because it can just kind of clutter things up, and it's so, you know, it's specific to the user and whatnot. So Taylor is super hesitant to pull in string, or not string, but any sort of helper function. So if you feel like that's the low-hanging fruit, it might not be the low-hanging fruit or easy win for getting for contributing to Laravel. So anyway, yeah. And so I had this another quick rejected one. I had this brilliant idea that turned out to be not so brilliant of, I'm always doing auth arrow user. And so I tweeted out, like, what if it's just me? Because you know how you go to an API and it's user slash me? I was like, me is such a great metaphor for that. So I submitted it, and Taylor's response was nice, but he was like, this is pretty ballsy, so no. And he kind of like appreciated it. It was like, oh, this is cool, but this is really ballsy and it's not going to happen. So
yeah.
So those got rejected, but there's a bunch of new stuff that's really cool. And I think just like the theme here for these past 2 weeks has been null objects. So basically, here's a couple things. So somebody is proposing, this is a work in progress thing, if anybody wants to follow it. You know how when you access an Eloquent relationship that doesn't exist, so you have like post arrow comments, but let's say there's no comments, or let's say post arrow comment, or comment arrow author or something, and let's say author doesn't exist, you get null right now, right?
Right.
And then like it's such a source of errors, and rightly so, but in applications, like how many times do you get, you try to do like, comment arrow author arrow is, you know, created at or something, and it says called property on null, you know, created at property called on null. Like, how often does that happen? So often. And so you have to add some conditional where you say, if not, comment arrow author, and then do the thing. And so basically somebody's proposing that in your relationship you can define a null model to return if none exists. that returns either like a default or eats the statement or something like that. I don't know. I thought that was fascinating. Do you think have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. So the places I normally have issues with returning null are in views, basically.
Right.
Either in Blade or in, you know, React components or something.
Okay.
And Blade gives you tons of tools to deal with that, right? Hmm. So there's tons of, you know, like you can set defaults, you can do all kinds of stuff in Blade directives. So I don't see it as a huge problem there if you just know how to Blade. I can see, I guess.
How do you default to something in Blade? The or?
There are tons of things. So there, he has a, is it until or unless?
Right.
Thing. He's got a.
But that's for including, right? Until or unless?
Yeah, hang on just a second.
I definitely know, like in just the curly brace syntax with the echo, there used to be an or keyword, which now I think it may have gotten removed, it may have not, but it might have gotten removed because of the null coalesce operator, the double question mark thing, which is, a solution to this. But
So there's the is set and end is set thing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Those are awesome. So you can say is set records, and that's basically like a if is set.
Oh. Cool.
So that's really nice. There's other ones
that
awesome. I'm trying to.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ways to address this problem. There's like four else, and then instead of else at the bottom, there's empty, which tables with nothing in them. So maybe not for strings, but I definitely know like the null object pattern in general is like a conditional killer. You know, it's one of those tactics for killing conditionals and keeping things polymorphic. And so I don't know. I thought it was fascinating, and there's a lot of talk on it. I don't know what'll come of it, but I figured I should mention it.
So how would that work? So this is kind of the place where it gets weird for me. Is like, say I want to use those null objects in my views, right?
Right.
But in my API, I actually just want to return null if it's null.
Right.
What do I do then? You know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you would do your own. Yeah. You would do it the old fashioned way, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I could definitely see it being handy, 'cause I know there's been times where, I don't know, it's one of those things that I'm fascinated by. I don't have a use case offhand, but, I don't know. Anytime the null object pattern is brought up, I get excited. So then cool. The other tiny little thing, so in that vein of null objectism stuff, there's a first or new. I don't know if this is new. I actually didn't write down any notes on this. I'm so sorry. You're just going to have to figure it out by going on GitHub. But there's like model instead of first or create, there's now first or new. And again, this might have already existed and it may not have even been pulled in. I have no notes, but I thought it was fascinating. First or new, which would be, I don't know, it's kind of along the lines of our make method. Basically get a first one. If not, you know, new it up. So, more,
you said
more,
this is an open PR?
I have such horrible info on this. I think it's been pulled in. I don't know. Gotcha. I literally have a wonder list of PR notes, and this has like nothing on it. So my brain is blanking. And then the other little thing, you know, when you call, when you create a model off of a relationship, so let's say you have post, comments, and then create. And then and then you pass in an array and it creates a comment related to the post.
Yes.
So when you chain that create on top, so usually like you can't call create without passing in an array. And so many times I just want to create something with the relationship without passing anything in. And now that's gone. So you can just, I don't know if you've ever run across that, but I've definitely come across that and been very frustrated that I have to pass in an empty array into that create. But now it's just create. You don't need the empty
array.
And
so you're assuming at that point that you've basically got all of the, so you've either got defaults on
right.
all of the
defaults
fields or whatever.
And the relationship that's defined.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then you can chain on things that you need to chain on, updates or whatever. I don't know. That would make no sense. But yeah. Cool. So that is this week in PRs.
Awesome. I like it. So for our main topic today, we took the very, very broad but very, very exciting topic of resources.
Resources.
So we've talked a lot about resources on the show. We've talked about resource routes and resource controllers and resource route only and resource API routes, all of the things.
Right.
We've talked about all of
RESTful controllers, strict RESTful controllers. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And our general, as far as I can recall, our general theme on this was like, man, it sure would be awesome if you could use these everywhere, except that you can't always.
Right.
And so anyway, I just wanted to talk a little bit more about resources and resources more like as a metaphor. But first, why don't you like give the basic pitch on resources?
Yeah. Okay. So I think the best place to learn about resources or get behind them, there's a RailsConf keynote. I think it's like 2006 or seven. That could be way off. That sounds way off. I don't know. But there's a RailsConf keynote given by DHH where he pitches resources, which basically, so when I talk about a resource, let's use it in the context of a controller. In the olden days of me writing code, I would have these controllers. Let's say I had post controller, and then I would have a method called see all, and then sometimes it would be like view all, and then there would be one show create form, and then there would be one like process create form or save from create form. There'd be like update and, you know, delete and unpublish and archive and all of these names. And so there was these similar, like there's a similar pattern in all of these things. There's see all, like index, you know, like view one, show, show create form, create. So anyway, the idea with the resources, the first thing is that it kind of normalizes those names. So there's index, there's show, there's create, there's store, there's update, delete, those basic CRUD operations. And then step two of it is if your method, so if you're doing this in a strict way, if you're adhering that your controllers will only contain these specific methods, you now run into a problem where what if you had like, okay, I get it, post, create, store, all these things. But what if I want to do something extra like post without author or share or something like that? Like, I think that should go in the post controller. So anyway, what DHH proposes is stick to it strictly. And if you run into an exception, create a new resource. So in the instance I just gave where you would have post share, instead of having your post controller and then sort of fitting in the share method, you'd create a whole new controller called post share controller. And so that mm-hmm. would be its own entity that you could then create, read, update, and delete. And then he goes into more, he gives really good examples of things that aren't even like a post to me is a physical thing in an app. He gives examples of things physical. That aren't physical. They're relationships, like very abstract concepts that you can post or create.
Right.
Things like that. So anyway, that does that give a good rundown on what a resource is and what we kind of are talking about when we're going hardcore strict on resources?
Yeah, totally. And to be clear, I don't want to be that strict. I don't want to say that everything has to be a resource.
Okay.
But I do think that like for most people, for most apps, 80% of your controllers could be resource controllers. You know? Like yeah. There may be a few key business logic endpoints that like can't map nicely onto a resource endpoint.
Okay.
But I would say for the most part, like if you have like, you know, a React or Vue front end touching an API of a Laravel app, like I would say most of the endpoints could be resource endpoints.
Yeah, I'm 100% resource strict right now, and that's much better advice, I assume. But just to note personally, I'm all in resources. So every controller is strict resource methods, but go on.
This is an example I had, right? Of like something that couldn't really be a resource endpoint. I guess it could actually, but it'd be really weird and ugly. So I was thinking about building a, podcast recording web app, which basically would take audio from the microphone and then stream it up over a WebSocket to a Node.js server,
ooh,
which would then like compile it into a WAV file and then stitch it together on the server.
Wow.
And bounce it out. So it would basically like eliminate the whole like, let's clap and make right, sure all yeah. of our audio gets together and stuff. So it'd be a really cool little project. But the WebSocket endpoint, like the whole idea that like WebSockets are going to fit somehow nicely into a resource route mm-hmm. feels weird to me, or any sort of streaming endpoint that like gets a lot of data thrown at it, whether it's like a webhook or a WebSocket, like I feel like often isn't going to be like a nice strict resource route.
Yeah. So, like, give me an example. Give me a word. Like, describe the method name that you want for your WebSocket.
Yeah. So, if you were going to make it strict resource, it would be audio chunk dot create, basically.
Right. Dot store.
Because what it's doing, and, you know, it's a WebSocket, so it's not exactly like a regular endpoint, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like a PubSub thing.
Right.
But still, like, the idea that, like, that I'm going to, like, create a object in my domain called audio chunk,
mm-hmm.
just because that's the thing that gets transferred across the network, even though, like, I'm never, like, going to access an audio chunk anywhere else ever in my code.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I would still name the controller audio chunk store, and then I would... I'd not necessarily have to create an audio chunk object in the system. I think for me, the strict line is in the controller names and method names. And then from there, you know, things get a little different. I can then bend the things become less hardcore resourceful as I get farther away from the controller. But
yeah,
but I don't know. I mean, and then that begs the question, like, what am I buying myself? I don't know, but I'm doing it.
This is the thing. So I made this, npm package, which right now really could use some help if anyone wants to throw some pull requests at it. But basically, it's an npm package to basically be the JavaScript pair to these resource routes. Right. So assuming that you set up, like, your resource routes and resource controllers, you know, just like generated them from Laravel or whatever, this is basically, like, on the JavaScript side, you could include this npm package. And it just basically wraps Axios and gives you these nice little methods for axing it or for accessing it. So I could say, like, resource.index users, and that would just hit the, you know, users index controller method. Mm-hmm. Or I could say, you know, resource.update users, and then pass in a user object that contains an ID, and it would go update that user object.
Mm.
So it's really... Like, that's where I think this really matters, is that, like, if you can write your JavaScript in a way that it just knows, like, if you always know what routes you need to hit, then you can just build these nice little SDKs in your JavaScript that reach your API, you know?
Yep, right.
Like, that's the weird thing about, like, having weirdly structured APIs that are, like, you know, that have, like, weird endpoints and weird, you know, names for things and stuff, is that, like, you can't build a nice SDK for it. You have to, like, have Axios calls in your constructors and stuff.
Right. Yeah. So I think it's a great idea. I saw the package. I haven't pulled it in and used it, but it looks like a great idea. It looks like a good answer to this, especially if you're submitting to this RESTful API, even internally thing. But here's where I'm at. Like, and this is, again, possibly very irrational, but for me, this kind of reminds me of Vue Resource. Do you remember, I don't know how much you did with Vue, but do you recall Vue Resource? It was like Vue's answer to Axios. Like, this was before Vue pulled in Axios or suggested Axios. Like,
I remember hearing about it on the podcast.
Okay. So it's deprecated now, I think. So it's old and you're not really supposed to use it. Uh-huh. But it used to be the thing you used instead of Axios in Vue. And it you could use it just like you use Axios, .get, and then you pass in the URL and then the data. But it also had this resource feature where you could do view.resource, I think, something like that. And it would do something similar to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I never used it for some reason.
Why not?
Like, I never used it. Some part of me feels like, and this is kind of why I never really liked form helpers. Like, it makes so much sense. But for me, I'd rather see it explicitly written out. I don't know. But well, I think there's line, like, between, like, these things are probably the best answer. Like, these are probably the best solution. But for me, like, I really like the balance of the two. Like, I like kind of straddling that line between here's a convenient way to wrap everything up, and then this is all just too explicit. You know, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. So, I mean, I like it because I wrote the JavaScript, so I know what it does,
right?
So I feel like if it was something with Vue, like, I'm not as comfortable source diving a JavaScript framework as I am with Laravel.
Mm-hmm. Right, me too.
So I would feel like a little bit black boxy, like I don't understand what that does.
Yeah, yeah.
But like my library is like 45 lines long or something. Like it's so short. It's just like Axios wrappers.
Right.
And so I feel like you can really easily grok it and just realize that it's just saving you from writing the same 12 lines of code over and over and over again. Right. You know?
So if this... Well,
go ahead.
So in my current way of using Vue, which is kind of a hybrid way, you know, I'm not really using it in an SPA context. I'm sort of shoehorning it. Is that right? Yeah. So I render the Vue components in Blade templates, and there's this problem. And we talked about this on the North Meet South podcast. There's this problem with routes. Like I'm all about route naming. I went to that, I haven't looked back. I'm really happy that all my routes are named, for even if just because it feels more, I don't know, reliable to me. But so all my routes are named, and I'm sure yours are too. And when you get into that, like it creates this divide when you're in a Vue single file component. You don't have access to Blade. Like you don't have access to PHP. So you can't echo out your route, you know, helper with the name in it.
Sure.
So what I do, and so a lot of people, I've heard multiple people say like, oh, I really want to build a package that is a bridge between Laravel and Vue. And I thought the same thing, and I still kind of hold out that hope. But anyway, my current solution, and this, again, this is all I talked about this in the North Meet South podcast, but Jesse Schutt put out a blog post, and he showed a way of doing it where you pass all the routes as properties into the component. And so in your Blade template, you echo out route, right? So like how does this translate to that? Like when I'm using this stops me from using Blade to echo out the route name and then put it into the component. So how does that work? Is it just kind of relying on the faith?
Wait, so explain it to me. So explain the context where you need the route name again.
Right. So like if you have a Vue component called create post or something like that, right? And then you have a method called store or store post. And you have an Axios call that needs to call the store post endpoint and then pass in, you know, the ID, right?
Right.
Or the post thing. So in my Blade file, I'll load the create post component, you know, the like the tag, and then I'll pass in a property post store or store post URL, and then I'll echo out route store dot po or post dot store, you know, and then I'll pass in the route model bound post, you know, or if it's like that. So anyway,
so you're saying like within the create component, you need to know the URL of the store endpoint.
Yeah.
Well, if you're using resource routes, then it's easy. It's /API/post/store.
Right. So let's say that it's like a nested resource or something that has an ID, like post.
Okay, so that's the thing. So these are the PRs that I need on this library right now, which I'm going to work on a little bit today, right? So number one, I need some sort of configuration file so that you can change your base API URL. So right now it's just /API, right?
Right.
So I just assume that you're using like /API and then resources. So I need you to be able to change that in case you're doing like, you know, /fancy API or something.
Right.
And then the other thing that I need to do is basically build child resource getters. Right.
Right.
I'm not really concerned with child resource setters because to me, there's almost no time you ever need to do that.
So here's my question. My question for this, and this, I think this is what will decide if I'll find this incredibly useful or not. I mean, I think it's useful. I think by itself right now, it is totally useful. But there's just
you're not hurting my feelings. Continue.
Okay. Everybody should use it. Like, don't even ask questions. Just use it. So anyway,
never ask any questions of anyone.
Exactly. So the question for me is, will I have to see the word ID? Will I have to know the ID of something?
Something will have to know it, but you will never actually have to write the word ID.
Okay, so I will never have to, anywhere in my Blade, in my React or Vue or anything, I'll never have to say post arrow ID.
Except for on update calls.
Right, so what about an update call?
Okay, so say I'm on... for example, say I'm on like the post edit page, right?
Okay.
So then I know the ID, right? Because that's where I am.
Okay. Yep.
So basically the only times I'm making update calls are places where I already have that object, and that object already contains its ID. So why am I worried about it?
Right. And where do you get that object? From Blade or from an API endpoint?
Either way.
And to get it from the API endpoint, do you need the ID to get the object?
If you want to get a single object, you need to get its ID.
Right. Like you could get a collection of objects.
Yeah, but like So like normally, I mean, like usually the flow, the way that this would go, right, is that like you would be on an index page and you would get an index collection, right? Which is like an array of objects in JavaScript, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah. That makes
sense. And each of those has like an ID and
they each have their own object and their ID, and then you can just pass it in the update and everything's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good example. I think sometimes you still need the ID, like you said, if it's not a collection of things.
But. And as long as the object has the ID, like in it, you just say resource.update.post and then the object. And so my thing will just say, like, does this object contain an ID? If it does, then we can do it. If it doesn't, then we can't.
That's cool. Yep. I mean, obviously you don't have access to, like, Laravel has get key name for custom keys, which everybody's is.
Yeah,
ID,
we don't have that.
Unless either. You have a, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. I think it's cool. I don't know if I could rely, I might still need to rely on the route thing and the property passing, but I don't know. It's awesome.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. So this is the thing that I wanted to get to as like our last thing here.
All right.
This is all a part of like a larger, more insidious plan of mine.
Okay.
To build tools surrounding resources, right?
Right.
What I really want to do at the end of the day is build. So we have resource controllers behind resource routes. Now I have like a resource client on the front end touching those resource routes,
right,
which are then touching those resource controllers. So now I want resource views,
right,
that are touching the resource client, that are touching the resource routes, that are touching the resource controllers.
So is your idea for resource views different than just folders of the resource and then inside those folders just having index.blade and store?
Yes,
create.blade?
Totally. So here's the thing. I want to generate those.
Oh, boy.
And I don't want to generate them for like production, but for like rapid prototyping.
Okay.
Like basically for like going from like I have an idea for an app to having like...
Right. Just be like,
you
create
can click your
the,
way
this
through the
resource
app
thing, and then it just like propagates all the way down between controllers and views and front end.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Wow.
So I would like to say, like, create resource post, you know, and like
right.
theoretically you could say like which relationships it has.
Yeah.
And then it once I have, you know, sub resource methods, then we could, you know, we could look at those.
Right.
But basically, ideally, like you should, there's no reason at all that you shouldn't be able to generate the controllers, routes, and views for like any like boring resource that just has like a couple of relationships and a
right.
couple of like integer and date and string fields.
Right. Yeah. And the migration too. Everything.
Yeah. And the migration. All of it.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no reason at all that you can't.
This would be, it would be a fun package to just like, because I totally would use it. And this is
well,
sort of my
use case.
I would use
it too.
Case.
And so this is the issue is like I keep anytime I try and tell someone that I want to build this, they're like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
And so what I really want to do is just build little parts of it one at a time.
Sneak it. Yeah. Right.
And have
Trojan
people say,
horse,
oh, that's
this
really
resource.
Useful. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's really useful that you made this nice little JavaScript resource.
That is how we will take over the world with resources is
exactly
one.
That's what it is. It's like we'll just build. Yeah. We'll just one level at a time until basically all programmers are extinct. And you just say, what kind of resources are in your app?
Yep.
And you lay in bed.
Just
and you dictate
name
to
a
Siri,
bunch of nouns about your domain. Done. There's
oh my
your
God.
App.
Dude. Okay. So I just moved to Asheville. I went to the Asheville Laravel meetup. And this guy gave a talk on schema.org. So Frake from Spotsy actually made a package about this, which isn't exactly what I want, but it's kind of in that direction. Do you know about schema.org?
I don't.
Okay. So schema.org is Google's like RFC metadata thing that they're doing now, where basically like you can tag nouns on the internet.
Okay.
So for example, say like I have a website that sells books. They have like a whole metadata structure of like what a book is, you know, and so like a book can have an author and like it could have multiple authors,
okay.
blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
So it's basically like all of the information architecture that we do at our jobs all day in Eloquent,
okay,
like just done. And it's like this big open source repository of like every noun on earth.
Wow.
And it's all like
seriously
extendable. So like book extends thing,
unreal.
For example. It's crazy. And so what I believe what Frake's package does, or Spotsy's package, is that they just generate schema.org metadata from your database tables.
Okay.
But I thought it would be really sick if you just like fed a list of nouns into something and it went and fetched the schema.org thing for it and generated migrations based on that.
That would be great. Like, see how far you can take this. Like, how much of your app can I build for you by you and then saying eventually a word?
Yeah, eventually I just want to like sit in my bedroom and say, Alexa, let's make a website.
That's amazing. This is the future. I think we just
Oh my God. You know what? Think about it. If we just built this and just didn't open source it, this could be our job. We could just sit at home and we could say, Alexa, Alexa, let's build a website for real estate. We're like, real estate extends.
And it would just be done. That's amazing.
Yeah, it would just be done.
Yeah, that's great. One package at a time. I feel like the villain in this narrative is people's web hate sockets for route resource. the hatred for route :: resource is sort of the root of the like what we'll be battling, you know? Like that is the mentality. And I'm not, again, like I don't use route resource, so I'm my own villain, but like that is where. But anyway, yeah. I like it. Well, we need Alexa. Yeah, an Alexa.
We just
resource.
Need to go on North Meets South a couple more times throughout our lives, and each time we'll just get Michael Dorinda a little bit closer to loving Route Resource, and then there will be some sort of like climactic like meeting of the minds where like we're gonna do like a live show at Grand Central Station to like you know four people who don't know anything about Laravel.
Right.
So we'll be sitting on like a bench in a subway station, and we'll be like, guys. And all of a sudden, everyone will agree. Our minds will be blown. We'll create the Alexa skill. You get a free Echo Dot if you create an Alexa skill. So we'll all get free Echo Dots. And it'll be great.
That's great. Well, as soon as we get Matt on board, the world is conquered. So Matt yeah. is... Well,
oh, Matt. Yeah. He's never going to like
freaking
this.
Freaking Matt. Yeah. Come on, Matt.
This is the problem with Matt. Matt is way too realistic and actually knows what you have to do to make money.
Seriously.
And have a job.
Yes.
But it's like
too far, Matt.
What if programming was just yelling at your Alexa?
All right, I think we're over time.
You think?
No.
No, probably not.
I think the one that I had today was probably the most successful conversation I've ever had.
That was crazy.
I've had more like maybe favorites and stuff than what I had today on that one, but this was by far the most valuable for me. Like I felt like,
yeah. But how many of those led to a Laracon title fight?
This is true. So it's going to be a 3-way fight. Me, Daniel, and David Hemphill with a bare knuckle cage match on.
I'm just on the stage.
Good. Well, you have judo training, and David has MMA training, jujitsu, I think, and I am. I think I took a week of karate training at the YMCA when I was.
You got
when
this.
I was in second.
I have about as much judo training as I have long division training. like I stopped learning both around the same time.
So that Perfect. Should be fun. I've been teasing David that I'm going to fight him for like, you know, since I found out he was an MMA fighter. I actually have this amazing gif of him kicking some dude in the face and knocking him out in the actual fight that he had. Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
That's great.
I'm going to have to find that and share it with
you. Yeah,
you
definitely have to do that.
All right. Let me see if I can... I'm going to put it in the Telegram chat. Hold on
like,
a second.
How do you work well with that tweet going on today? It was like, it was nonstop. Everybody just kept weighing in. And like, I spent a good 10 minutes trying to figure out like my own funny approach to it. And, you know, I don't know. It was just a good time.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear like so many different opinions. And there are, I mean, after thinking about it, I was like, okay, there is at least four different ways I can think of that are common. So you have the view global helper and then the name of the view that you're going to pass in, comma, the array, like that you're going to do it, where you actually the array of data that you're going to pass in,
right?
Where you actually specify the keys and the values. Or there's a second way, which is what I tend to use a lot of times, which is compact,
right?
And you just pass in, you know, into compact the names of the temp variables that you have declared later earlier on in your controller method, and then it will create a keyed array for you. And then there is the, you know, you can use the global helper, specify the name of the view that you're going to use, and then you arrow with, and then include a name and the variable that you're going to do.
Right.
Or you can use the magic with, where you say, like, with products, and then include just the products variable. And then in addition to that, you have view composers, which somebody mentioned, which I thought was interesting, where they said, right, if we have more than three, we use a view composer, which I was like,
And I hate view composers.
Yeah, it's because they're magic, right? Yeah. Like, you never know they're there. Like, you have to...
Like, I've tripped myself up on them bad, like, and I regret using them. I don't know.
Yeah, because it's array is probably the only one that I like, because it's always there, right? That's composed in, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, yeah. No, that's a good use case for it. Yeah, that is interesting, though. Like, there's these four factions... And, you know, you tweet out this thing and everybody quickly kind of aligns. Like, this is a conversation that we had in Discuss Dev a couple months ago, where I just posted in there innocently, like, hey, guys, what do you think? Do you use with or do you use the array or something like that? And it just...
There are no innocent.
Right? Yeah, and it turned into this crazy thing. War. And I quoted him from that conversation. I actually looked it up today and went back to it. And it's pretty much the same conversation. It was a mirror of the conversation that's happening on Twitter. I don't know. It's just fascinating. And like the different backgrounds, like then you came out, Jacob, and were like, you know, I'm a compactor because Jeffrey's a compactor.
Yeah.
And I was totally a compactor because Jeffrey was a compactor. And I did it because he did it for so long. And then Matt, like in a pull request or in a pairing session, was like, yo, no on the compact. So I had to wash that out of me.
There are definitely things like that like I've really enjoyed, and then they just like clash with either Matt's style or like Samantha does a lot of my code review, either like her style or Matt's style. And if I like run against their style like more than three times, it's like, all right, I'm tired of seeing this comment in my code review. Like, I changed the way I care about this.
Whatever.
And then you do that for a month, and then everything else looks wrong.
No,
like. Now I have to do the with. Like, with is the only way for me.
So, Adam came and, you know, said that thing about mutability. And I think he has a knack for explaining these things that, I don't know, like, I would never think of this returning a view in terms of mutability. I just never would.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's like, this feels like, when I use the with, it feels like a mutable thing. He always, like, adds those, like, kind of like, and then a really concrete thing, mutable, you know, like it's kind of like, sort of feels like mutable.
North meets south.audio/31.
Mutable.
Change the way I care about
whatever.